Excuse me, what is going on here?
But first we're going to make a little detour.
So absurd, so questionable.
Yeah, I guess we're just the weirdos.
Expect the detour.
Yes.
So I guess rounding off, you guys are familiar with blood. That's great. Yeah. That's going to make this story easy. Today we were on a Teams call at work. I do have a job. And there was a woman who was getting ready to talk, and she had what looked like blood coming from her lip.
Coming off the side of her lip
coming,
or something?
Coming off the side of her lip. Like, the color wasn't quite right, so it could have been like maybe some chocolate. She may have just had some ice cream or something. I don't know.
How did you first see her? Was it like she just turned her camera on and it was just there?
She joined the meeting about halfway through, turned her camera on, and it looked like blood was trickling from the side of her mouth.
Was she sexy? Like, kind of like it was like a sexy vampire type situation?
Well, if by sexy you mean maybe like Meredith from The Office.
Because it is subjective.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's a vampire, like Twilight style, maybe? She's kind of a glistening filter around her?
She did not. There wasn't much glistening. She wore a blazer.
Okay.
So just strictly business for her.
Yeah, okay.
See, I feel like when you are like an eternal being, assuming that vampires are, you're not really worried about work. You got your whole life to have a career and then have another career if you want to. Like, you're just kind of hanging.
So we're ruling out she's a vampire. That's basically what we've concluded.
Pretty much. I'm going to say she's not a vampire.
Okay. The next option is that she just had finished up a street fight. Maybe an underground street fight.
Mm-hmm. You know. That's going to be more plausible. And I'm saying that just because we did not see her at the beginning of the meeting. So we don't know what she was doing during that time period. She hopped on mid-meeting and is bleeding.
Was she out of breath?
Mike was on mute. Couldn't really tell about the out of breath situation. There was maybe a sheen that could have been called sweat.
Not a lady you want to mess with, because if she truly were in a fight club, just one little trickle of blood from the lip kind of insinuates that she's very good at fighting.
Uh-huh.
Like, she's not messed up at all, but it's kind of like, you know, you should see the other guy.
Yeah, one minor bleed.
He fought a minor?
I don't know who she fought.
Do you think you could be here in a fight?
No.
I mean, because... No, no?
No. The moment she came on the screen...
You jumped up into, like, a defensive stance?
I did, but immediately felt weakened.
Because you're anemic?
Because I'm anemic and she is a vampire. But it's, you know... If somebody can portray that type of power through a computer screen, imagine the power they bring to a room when they're there physically.
She probably wears cloaks.
Oh.
Cloaks.
Yeah.
Exhibit power for some reason.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do you think you should one-up her next meeting? She came with just a kind of a drip of blood on her lip. Should you turn on your camera next meeting and look like Carrie from that movie?
The movie Carrie.
It's a movie Carrie. From that one movie, huh?
Yeah, the movie Carrie. Yeah, yeah. So, but like covered in blood.
Yeah, I think that's the only logical next step. Is just next time we meet, I'll be covered in blood. And I'll do what they did to Carrie in the movie Carrie, where I'll be sitting in the meeting and then all of a sudden the blood just falls on top of me.
Yeah. Mm. But you'll pull it on yourself. There'll be like an obvious rope next to you and you just kind of yank on it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it just
kind of
falls. And then, but yeah, I think you should one-up her that way. But I'm afraid that if you do commit to that, you're just going to have to be the guy that's always covered in blood. Like, that's just who you are at that point.
Just
and
the
they're going to be like, where is Alan, you know, at work?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be like, just follow the bloody footprints everywhere.
Yeah, you'll know when you get to him. He's the one who looks like he just slaughtered a pig.
But not with, like, a very efficient instrument.
Like, with his teeth,
yeah.
You know?
You'll know when you get close to him, because it'll smell like old flesh.
Yeah.
Could you imagine around the office, you're just following bloody footprints and, like, a lot of handprints on the wall. Like, why was Alan so unsteady? And, like, you get to the break room, and this... He just handprints all over the refrigerator like he couldn't figure out how to open it.
He can't see through the blood on his eyes.
It is funny when you watch something where someone has blood on their hands, they do tend to get blood all over the place, like over the walls, over every surface. There's no way they touch that many surfaces.
Normally. Yeah, they get blood on them. They're like, I have to touch everything in here.
Yeah.
And then, like, they continue following Alan's trail. And then, like, they're like, he went into the janitor's closet. And they open the janitor closet, and there's just, like, a little patch of blood where it looks like he's laid down. I'm like, did he take a nap in here? They're looking at all the mops and brooms. All of them have handprints on them. Did he test drive each of these cleaning items?
Was he removing fluorescent light bulbs from the fixtures? Yeah, it's a lot of me around the office, not doing anything in the office.
That he got away with previously because he was not covered in blood. It's like an obvious trail that you can just kind of follow in his wake, basically.
I think what it is Alan actually got hired as the janitor. And he's been trying to clean stuff up, but he just, as he cleans it up, he gets it dirtier with blood.
He gets pissed off every time he comes back around. He's like,
"Who's tracking all this blood in here?
Blood in here still."
Either that, or maybe it's just me creating a little job security.
Exactly.
If there's always a mess, there's always going to be a janitor.
You already have a job.
Maybe I want a second job.
Like, you follow the blood into the bathroom. You're like, did he sit down on the urinal? Is he sitting to pee on the urinal?
Why is there blood on my butt?
There's blood everywhere. You're covered in it. And then they're like, look at this truck. It looks like he's scooting around on his butt like a dog with worm.
Was he playing hangman on the wall?
He played tic-tac-toe with himself.
He lost.
Oh, man. No wonder your job is like, we are somehow losing funds but not getting any work done. It's because you have done no work.
Yeah.
You're just kind of around the office.
Wait, so how did the meeting progress from there, like, once you saw the blood on her?
It was on screen for probably about 5 seconds, and then she wiped it off.
Lame.
But everybody noticed.
Oh yeah. Poor man. God.
It wasn't an obvious laughter, but you could definitely tell, like, that it was a large group setting, and you could kind of tell, like, there were a couple of people around me just head in hand and just kind of snickering.
Man, so, you know, she noticed that too. If there wasn't blood on her face then, there's going to be blood on her face later.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Because she punched herself because she was so mad.
Yeah. Yeah. She went up to a wall and just started headbutting it.
I thought maybe, like, her boss got mad at her and just got into a physical altercation.
God. You know how your bosses tend to when you upset them? Yeah.
Oh, man.
And she works from home, so her boss probably flew out there to her house.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
I thought you were going to say her boss was her husband.
We hold very stiff opinions here. Oh, welcome to Questionable Detour. Let's do a hypothetical.
Dave, can I pose a somewhat abstract, purely hypothetical question?
I guess I want to apologize for asking a hypothetical question.
Well, that's a hypothetical question.
As three level-headed people who have complete control of their emotions, complete control of their anger, it's not above us to get angry while we're driving. And I think most people can relate to this, especially if you live in a major city like we do. Traffic is very bothersome. It is so annoying. And sometimes you just get that classic road rage. So as three people who, for the most part, are very controlled with their emotions and anger, how do y'all handle somebody cutting you off in traffic, brake checking you, riding your bumper? How do y'all handle road rage?
Well, my temper flares, some jerk bag cuts me off in traffic.
You need to watch your language.
Just, this is a family program. This is
some just absolute
There could be children person. Listening to this.
Just
as young person. As 3 years old.
Just a meanie head.
There you go.
Just cuts me off in traffic. Lays on their horn, whatever. I would be the one laying on my horn in that. But anyway.
Did you pass out? Why are you laying on your horn?
My temper starts just raging. You know my classic temper.
Your blood pressure up a little bit.
I'm red in the face.
Face gets a little red.
I just, steam's billowing from my ears like a cartoon character. And I write down their tag immediately. I make a call to the mayor's office. I get on the line with the receptionist, and I say, let me talk to the mayor person.
It's obvious it's not a
There's no
a
existing relationship with the mayor.
No, never talk to... I honestly don't even know their gender. That's why I had to go mayor person.
You went neutral. That's good.
Because, honestly, don't know anything about them. Never voted before in my life. So I get a hold of mayor person, and I talk them into enacting a law where people with this license plate number that also drive this type of car, they can't buy salt, pepper, or any seasoning that is containing salt or pepper.
Oh, this is passive aggressive. Okay, I was expecting them to go passive aggressive. Yeah. I was going to be a little more dramatic. Okay, continue.
It is unlawful for people with that license plate to possess salt or pepper. Mm. So that way they can never season their food again. And yeah, they just have to live a bland life the rest of their life.
Wow. Is it because they were living a bland life previously, and that's why they got so angry? Yeah. At you know, because they just don't have anything else to do. So yeah, you're just kind of, it's almost like a reflection of their action.
Yeah, kind of like that. Before they were living... Sure, yeah. That sounds great. But they were living a bland life with seasoned food. Now they're living a bland life with bland food.
That is super passive aggressive. Let me ask you, I assume you hang around these people, this person, right? You're not letting us go. Like...
Of course not.
You're
I got their home address.
Yeah, you're going to be involved because you talked to mayor and
from mayor person.
Yeah, yeah, the mayor person. You've involved yourself in their life. Do you overseason your food in front of them just to kind of show them what they could be having?
Yeah, my cholesterol has skyrocketed since this was enacted.
You're drinking salt water, basically.
Basically, I could probably live as a dolphin at this point. With the way I'm drinking salt water.
They're eating at our restaurant where there's their unseasoned chicken, and they look across, just Evan just hacking up every time he eats just crushed pepper. He's not even eating anything in it. It's just crushed pepper.
Yeah.
He's just
blocks of pepper, blocks of salt. I'm kind of like a cow. I just have a salt lick at hand at all times.
Across the table from him is the mayor, you know, just mayor adding insult to injury.
Licking the other side of the block.
And we romantically meet in the middle.
But the mayor, we're still not sure if it's a man or a woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Wearing a full-length robe where you can't tell anything.
Yeah,
it's very ambiguous. Yeah. They're just a very ambiguous person.
And y'all, you know, look across, it's just you and the mayor just going at each side of that salt lick. Y'all are side-eyeing the person that is going through this punishment.
Yeah, and then I have a cop waiting outside next to their car just watching to make sure they don't have any salt and pepper.
Oh, you make it get them searched.
Yeah.
You guys are getting really dangerously close to Lady and the Tramp in over there on that table.
Yeah. I don't even notice he leaves. Y'all are so into it. Yeah, y'all get to the end where you're like... Your lips. Y'all look, it's closed. The place is closed. You notice everybody left. Multiple people have tried to get a hold of you. Sir, we're closing. It's 10 o'clock. Sir, it's closing. And they're just like, leave them.
Yeah. There's just so much salt on both our lips, mouths. There's just so much to get off there. Nope. There's so much salt to be removed from each other's faces. But yeah, I mean, it's a good life.
So you have the cop search them. So like,
yeah, full body cavity search.
Oh my gosh. Out there in the parking lot.
Every time they eat.
Yeah, with like a camera with a flashlight on it. Yeah. Really just kind of getting to all their bits.
Yeah. We want to see everything. We want to make sure that there's no way around this for them.
Yeah.
He makes them cough.
Yeah. He makes them cough at least twice.
Do you also do a cavity search? Especially with the colon? Because I think your colon is going to have so many ulcers from the amount of salt that you've consumed. And you go, this is a person that has salt. Check their colon. If it's clean, ulcer-free, they're like, okay, well, they probably haven't been having salt. You know, you kind of compare.
Okay. So you're saying I get my cavity searched?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not searching theirs.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you go out there with them. They're bent over the car forcefully. You go up beside them under your own volition.
Yeah, like I'm in charge of the whole thing.
They're like, let's go to get this over with, officer.
I thought the officer was giving them the cavity search, and you were just somehow giving yourself the cavity search.
Just all
I can't do that myself.
Evan's on the ground like a human pretzel.
Just kind of sad because you feel left out.
Yeah.
I like the idea that this turns into with the cops searching this individual, because you watch an episode of the show Cops, and oftentimes the cops will search a vehicle or search a person. They'll pull a baggie full of greenery, right? It's weed or something like that. But this person is going to get searched, car and pockets, and they're going to pull out something that looks similar, but it's just going to be like paprika. Yeah. Like, this is illegal substance.
Well, they're going to pull out crystal meth, and then they'll be like, no, that's not mine. That's not mine. They're like, it's not salt. We're clear.
Yeah. Just put it down.
Let him go.
Let him go.
Starting to sound like Evan's getting into this like high fluting upper class type drug addiction, especially with the mayor person around. Mm-hmm. Like, he's at these lavish parties just snorting thyme, you know, just like it's just in a line on some piece of glass.
Evan's got his rosemary dealer. Who is a woman named Rosemary? Yeah.
Because it's not illegal to have rosemary for
not
everybody
a
else. So
no,
it's
no.
Okay that your dealer's also named Rosemary. She's just the lady at Walmart. That's your rosemary dealer. I feel like it'd be funny to like reverse it. So like salt, you would say that's cocaine. Like, give me some of that cocaine, but it's actually salt. Paprika or thyme or some other green spice. You're like, give me that Mary Jane. But it's actually just the... Yeah. Just the spice rather than the drug itself.
And nobody bats an eye.
Yeah.
Well, talking more about the cop, I have planted. I plant stuff, salt, pepper on these people just
sure.
to make sure that they're getting in trouble. Because I need them off the streets, get these people.
You are a selfless guy. It's like Evan is kind of the puppet master pulling the androgynous mayor's strings.
Yeah. Mayor person. You just haven't learned his name, even though y'all been to multiple hardcore spice parties.
It's just not worth it at this point.
Yeah.
I've got what I needed from him. He's kind of just along for the ride now.
I assume Evan is, if you go into Evan's house, it's kind of like that's the ending of Scarface, where he just has piles of what looks like cocaine on his desk, but it's just salt. And he's just behind the desk, angry with a M16.
Except when he says, "Say hello to my little friend," there is really a midget there, which is kind of not a great look for him.
He's a little socially awkward, so that people have to introduce themselves to him.
Yeah. Like, he's not happy that you introduce him like that at all.
But I have to make sure people say hello to him, or other people just miss him.
Yeah.
So go ahead and say hello to my little friend.
Like, upset that you're calling, like, you know his name, or you don't. You don't even know the mayor's name.
My memory's been going since I've been taking in all this salt.
Yeah, you're looking kind of puffy. You're really holding on to water. Like, bloated. Like a whale that's washed up on the beach.
Yeah, taking a toll on my health.
It'd be interesting for you to go in an AA meeting, like everybody's struggling with a legitimate addiction, mm-hmm. and you're just like... I'm like three days sober from salt. People are like, what?
He's walking around with an empty salt shaker, tapping his knee, you know? Nothing in here. I just do it for the muscle memory.
I'm kicking sodium.
Don't cut Evan off in traffic.
Not if you want to eat seasoned food.
Really, though, he's going to die before you, so really, the joke's on him. All right, Alan. Somebody does something heinous in traffic. You have to slam on your brakes. You have to turn veer really hard. What are you doing? What are you doing when you get road rage?
Well, I'm absolutely irate to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. Before the road rage?
I was irate beforehand, though.
You're just angry.
Just always angry.
Just punching the ceiling of the car.
Just made
it worse. White knuckling the steering wheel.
But lucky for me, I use the buddy system.
Oh, good.
And I'm always traveling with a convoy.
Okay.
I think more of the United States citizens should probably travel in convoys. That's just a side note for me. I think it's safer that way.
We don't want to get political.
We don't want to get political. And I'm honestly not even sure what side of the fence convoys are on.
You haven't conservative and liberal people be like,
should we be into this? I didn't know that's something we had to take a stand on.
Yeah.
Traveling in convoys, you know, always have always have your associates nearby. And, you know, when somebody cuts me off in traffic, my boys in the convoy, they're going to just come after him like the gentleman from Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've got just poles hanging out of the windows. They are trying to get inside this person's vehicle.
You don't travel around with people with nice cars.
No,
these are beaters.
This is a bunch of beaters that look like somebody halfway finished a project on them, and then said, "Yeah, this is fine to drive."
What do you? So, how do they know when you're pissed off? Do you have radios within your cars?
Maybe a flag system.
Definitely have the CBs, but it is just for looks. like Zach said, we do have the flag system.
Oh, cool. Okay, I guessed.
Great, great guess. It's kind of like when we're, you know, when you go to the beach, the flags tell you what the waves are. Yeah. Two red flags means he's mad when you get our guys inside that vehicle.
That's the beach.
A long explanation for a two flag system.
You know,
the legend on that has just got to be like way too long.
The other flags really don't have anything to do with traffic, actually.
So they're almost like a mood ring situation for you.
Kind of.
Like a purple flag means like you're kind of gleeful. We're kind of happy.
Things are good. We'll be off the next exit to go to a Cracker Barrel is what that purple flag means.
That's a purple flag?
Yeah. Yeah.
God, you know, in that convoy, you have these surly looking guys and that purple flag is raised and they're like, God dang it. I want to go to another Cracker Barrel.
Nalan hits every Cracker Barrel he sees.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like it's every Cracker Barrel.
It's every single exit.
But if you just ate an hour ago, a full meal, 1 hour ago, you hit another Cracker Barrel and you're like, we're eating here again.
Yeah.
But do you still have call signs for each other?
Yeah, we do.
Wait, what's your call sign?
Yeah, because I think if there's one thing that's important about a convoy, it's to have call signs.
You gotta have call. You mean
Smokey had Snowman?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is very important. And so my call sign is Old Man Knee Pit.
That's an interesting name. That's an interesting name. We like to do scenes here.
Mm-hmm. We like to call it role play.
We like to role play. I love role playing with two other guys. And
in my spare bedroom.
In my spare bedroom. So, Alan, why don't we do a scene? And let's role play maybe kind of what a situation might look like over the CB radio as you get road rage. And me and Evan will be the other two cars in your...
Okay.
So let's go to do that. So my call sign for this little role play is Skidmark.
Okay.
So I'm going to be Skidmark. Evan, what's your call sign?
I'll be Crankshaft.
Crankshaft. Wow. God, do some tough names here. Everybody should be afraid of Alan and his flags.
Honestly, these are two guys that I want in my convoy.
Absolutely.
Heading down the road. Absolutely. I feel like they can get the job done.
Oh, yes, they can. all right, let's go to do this. So here we go. Okay, we're driving in our cars. Evan's probably listening to some classical music in his beater. I'm just listening to somebody just scat. They're just scatting. the music, not actually pooping in my vehicle. And we're driving along, and all of a sudden we see somebody cut off Alan up in the front of the convoy.
Oh, dead gummit.
Oh, this here's Old Man Knee Pit. I wonder if you boys out there watching this come back.
copy that, Old Man Knee Pit. This is Skidmark. I saw that guy cut you off. I'm ready to get rock hard.
Copy that, Old Man Knee Pit. Crankshaft here is ready to finish that guy off.
Over.
Hey, Crankshaft, this is Skidmark. I've noticed you're missing a tire. Does that concern you?
I roll on three wheels, because four is too many. I like my equilibrium a little off.
All right, boys, let's cut the chit-chat. We're gonna... We need to get after this this ham and the ram over here. Crankshaft, you can get in there by his back door and see what you can do. Over.
That's a good call there, Knee Pit. Old Man Knee Pit. There's nothing more... There's nobody more anal than Crankshaft.
That's a big 10-4, Skidmark. Skidmark, while I got you, if you don't mind reaching your arm just out that window and just opening that fella's door, I'd sure like to get him falling out onto the road.
Oh, copy that. Be advised, old man Knee Pit. My arm is facing the other direction right now. I have broken my humerus. Old man Knee Pit, this is Skidmark. I'm going to be out of commission as both of my arms are now broken. I tried to reach out with the other arm. Both my arms look like stork legs. They face in the wrong direction. I'm in pain.
Skidmark, that is very unfortunate. I think you might want to sit this one out.
That's good to hear, because I've been standing this whole time. My car doesn't have any seats in it.
Copy that, old man Knee Pit. I'm about to approach the back door here to see if I can get all up inside, but I did notice the double red flag, which is normal. I also noticed the rainbow flag. What was that one about?
Oh, yeah, I noticed that too. I didn't read the manual very well due to my illiteracy.
I don't have the legend on my dash, I gotta say.
I have a legend on my dash. It's Kenny Rogers.
Crankshaft, I've warned you about this before. You always need to keep that legend on your dash at all times. This is going to be your last warning. The rainbow flag means it's time to just go ahead and lasso that exhaust and just pull that thing out from under the car.
I forgot how specific these flags are.
Yeah, very specific maneuvers, but I understand.
Which flag is it that we need to put our sunglasses down to give that extra sense of cool?
That's the black flag.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, the cool flag.
I thought that flag meant we made a new black friend.
Whoa, no, no, no.
Oh, we don't make black friends, is that what you're saying? Old man Knee Pit. Oh, look at that. There's a purple flag going up.
Oh, I was.
We must be coming up on a.
Right on his tail.
Well,
now we're going to Cracker Barrel again?
Let's get off here at this exit. I know we hadn't had one in about 10 miles. Let's get off and go to Cracker Barrel and take
in that order.
Take a 10-100.
That's such a good, well-oiled operation you got there.
Yeah, I just think it's better to travel with friends. You know.
Yeah.
And if your circle is not talking about convoys, talking about keeping vehicles together, and the communication involved with that.
It doesn't have to be good communication.
It does not have to be good communication. Honestly, the more creative, the better. It gets you talking, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
If your circle's not talking about that, you need to find a new circle.
As an expert on convoys, Alan, I want to ask you, when does it stop becoming a convoy and become a caravan?
I personally don't like a convoy. I'm more of a provoy type of person, you know? I always want to be positive. And convoys... Yeah. Tend to be too negative for me.
They do have a negative connotation, and it's probably because my convoy is just trying to jump into people's cars.
Which tends to be frowned on.
We're trying to frame it in a positive light. Maybe we should think about changing the name to Provoy.
That sounds like a medication that you would use on your genital herpes.
Yeah. Should they change the name ambulance to caravan?
Ooh, they should.
God, dude.
Wow.
Put us on your corporate team. We're changing the world.
We're marketing.
We're marketing. Why do they call ambulance a caravan? God, that's so good.
This is, isn't it great to be on the cusp of great ideas? Like this is probably what the boys back in the late 1700s felt like when they were, you know, writing that constitution.
Oh, very good. Well, here's how I handle my anger while I'm on the road. And much like you, Alan, I took the more aggressive approach, except I don't have a convoy, but I do have a team. If somebody brake checks me, I immediately, an unfathomable amount of anger. Way too, it's not appropriate for the situation. So what I do is I take my vehicle that has a catapult rigged into the top and back, and what I do is I slowly take predator animals, dangerous animals, and I put them into the catapult and then start flinging these animals at the car that I'm angry at.
Okay.
Because nothing would be more scary if I could aim correctly. Nothing would be more scary than all of a sudden your back windshield breaking as a Wolverine.
Yeah.
Enters your car.
A pissed off Wolverine at that. Because he's just flying through the air.
Yeah, I slap it a few times like it's Curly from the Three Stooges. Just to really piss it off. Stick it in that catapult. Sling it across to the car that I'm pissed off at. I have a trailer that is just full of animals. They're not really separated by each other. They're just kind of in a trailer with a cage. And, yeah, just different animals. You think of wolverines, maybe a wolf.
Yeah,
just
definitely
kind of
a
toss
wolf.
A wolf over there to the car. You know, sometimes it misses. Sometimes it just bounces off the windshield.
The weight on that trailer can't be distributed evenly.
It's swerving all over the place. Those animals are getting pissed off because they're bouncing around the trailer.
And last I checked, a Camry has 0% towing capacity.
Yeah.
It's using all four cylinders.
And I don't know the last time you drove sober. So you are just all over the road, I'm sure.
Not to mention that I'm having to drive and also capture and corral an angry, dangerous animal and then shoot it across some lanes of traffic. I mean, it is a circus act.
Yeah. If any of them ever get in, is an act of God, really.
It is an act of God, and that's why if they do make in, I settle in to some worship music and prayer.
Good. Really, really praise for what he's done.
<It's>, Is that car? It starts swerving violently because there's an animal attacking the person, and it flips a few times. I'm just in there like a monk.
Zach's listening to an 11-minute-long Chris Tomlin song.
Inside my vehicle, it sounds like a monastery, just with some chants and some hums.
Now, you have the monk haircut, too, right?
I do have the monk haircut, yeah. Okay. That that's just kind of a...
Isn't that just bald?
Well, it's the bald, particularly on the back of the head.
Yeah.
While there's a ring of hair situated around the perimeter of the head.
I was thinking more Asian monk than Friar Tuck monk.
Yeah, more Friar Tuck monk, I think, is the European monk.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to clarify that this was a European monk, not Adrian Monk from the show Monk.
Oh, that was my
There's a lot of confusion. I'm glad we got to really settle that. Yeah, I have the European monk haircut. That's mostly for air conditioning, cooling effect, because, you know,
of course.
They say that most of your heat's released at the very back of your head.
Just at the crown of the helmet.
And you always say when you get that haircut, you have your own little cooling effect because of how cool you feel.
Yeah, pretty cool, yeah.
You always put on a pair of aviators and you call that the cooling effect.
Yeah, every time I walk into a room, I'm like, it's cooling effect, you know? It just made the room cooler. You would think that I shaved the back of my head. I did not. That I was attacked by an animal, one of my animals. So it took off a large part of my scalp. Hair doesn't grow there anymore.
It's so weird that they maybe didn't feel great about you.
Yeah, the animals do not discriminate. They will attack anybody within range. I was able to shoot the animal in the catapult while the badger was attacking the back of my head.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's one difference between you and the animals, because you do discriminate.
Yeah. It's very progressive, the animals. Very old-fashioned of you.
I don't discriminate. I will shoot a rabid fox into anybody's car.
Yeah.
The only thing that you have to do is piss me off on the road, and I will medieval style shoot a raccoon at your car.
Now, you said you get the animals off. What does that entail?
A steady hand.
Oh, yeah, a steady hand and a go-get-it attitude, Evan.
Okay. So do you ever have to retrieve the animals after they've done their job?
I do. Yeah, because, I mean, as you imagine, it's kind of difficult to collect angry rabid animals.
Uh-huh.
So much like a person shooting a bow and arrow, I have to then go collect the items that I shot. Mm-hmm. So most of the time, because of my poor aim, I just have to usually go pick up the dead, splattered animal on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I do have to follow the winding and weaving vehicle that now encases a rabid animal. That they crash into a tree or to the median wall there. And I jump out looking like a monk animal control person. So I jump out with the full coverall type clothing with boots, and I with the long stick with the noose on it, and I go and capture the enemy out of the car.
Do you carry a tranquilizer gun at all?
I do, but that's for the angry person.
Sure.
Because they are upset that I just shot an animal at them, and then subsequently they crashed their vehicle.
So with your poor aim, I gotta think that you hit the wrong car a lot.
I hit the wrong car a lot.
Yeah.
Especially in a traffic situation where there's a lot of vehicles in a small location.
Yeah,
there's...
What's even more, I don't know if the word is impressive, but whenever it's stop and go traffic and everyone's stopped on the freeway and you try to launch one at somebody and you still miss. Everybody's stopped, but you just can't hit the target. You couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, really.
Right. I cannot hit the broadside of the barn, but I can, with very good accuracy, hit school buses.
That is weird. Yeah.
There could be a car directly adjacent to me, school bus, off to my right, and somehow the animal bounces off the car I'm shooting at right into the open window of a school bus.
Wind takes him.
Yeah,
it's like a golf ball on a windy day.
Yeah,
he gets out of the car, licks his finger, holds it up in the air, testing the wind.
Yeah, which I don't, you know, I do that, but it matters not to me because I have no idea how to adjust to it. I do it solely for the purpose of looking like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. One of the worst groups of drivers, women aside, is old people.
Yeah.
Is there a specific animal that you like to use to take care of the old people?
Bear.
Bear? Okay.
Grills?
Bear grills. I shoot the British TV survival host Bear Grylls at these people.
As he's flying through the air, he goes... Glacier.
He does just say weird British things.
Yeah.
And
aluminium.
Yeah, and when he enters the car of the old person, he says, I will bite in you and get to my vitamins. But yeah, I do shoot Bear Grylls. I also shoot normal bears, which obviously because of their size, entering the vehicle is not an issue for them. Usually it just kind of crushes the cab of the car. So... Kind of a one-shot, hit-all type ammunition there.
And what the weight doesn't get, the claws do.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I think you should maybe branch out in your marketing, maybe take up a new cause like preventing forest fires and send out Smokey the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, throw bears at fires. Is that what you're saying? Catapult animals into forest fires.
No, I was really just thinking dress up a bear in a park ranger outfit and chunk it at a car. That was
Yeah, I think there are many ways this could go.
Frighten people into complying with your
cause. I think that's good. I think those are good ideas to add to my already great idea.
Yeah, it was pretty bulletproof. I like the idea.
I think so. Bullets. Speaking of bullets, too easy. That's why I went with this. Guns too easy.
Yeah. Yeah. People are doing it every day.
It's gotten old.
Yeah.
It's gotten old.
Yeah.
You know, so, but anyway, that's what we do in Road Rage. Write in. Tell us what you do in Road Rage. We'd love to hear it. We love really facilitating negativity.
Not that any of your ideas will be better than the three ideas presented today, but we could still use some of your ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for our final segment, we're going to go into a segment where we tell stories. Right now, Alan is going over to this big, classy-looking chair next to the fire. He's put on a smoking jacket, put on some pretentious-looking slippers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so classy.
Pretentious is classy.
Yeah, he's so classy.
He's smoking a pipe, not a tobacco pipe.
It's a crack pipe.
It's a crack pipe. He's an issue.
I may be tweaking, but I'm still in this fancy, pretentious getup.
Right.
Yeah. We're about to get into our story mode. But he's over there about to get ready and tell us a story. So let's do a Mad Lib.
Mad Lib. All right. So we just broke out the old Mad Lib machine. This is a machine is roughly the size of this room. We are against the walls right now.
Very steampunk.
It is very steampunk. Just black smoke coming out of everywhere.
Lots of cogs turning.
Evan has got 2 feet on 2 separate pedals, and
he's not near each other.
No.
I'm spread eagle right now.
It looks like he's trying to ride 2 separate bikes.
It's because it is 2 separate bikes. That's the main, you know, motor of the engine, right?
Yeah, he's really, really getting this machine, the Mad Lib generator, working. And Zach is over here with a couple different levers, and he just keeps adjusting it just to get us the correct story. And
I don't know what these levers do. I'm just pulling on them.
Yeah. Well, you know.
He's like a DJ. You know? He just keeps switching levers and
what
maybe
do they really
like,
do?
They don't
really
do anything. That's what I'm doing. And what happens with this machine is, as Evan produces the energy, and I am pulling the levers, doing obviously various tasks.
Sure.
Just a tiny little slip of paper comes out at the very end, and that has the Mad Lib on it.
Here.
Ding! It makes a little ding noise.
It does.
Like a microwave finishing. Here, let's do this. Let's do the subject, Evan abducted by aliens, because he is just so abductible.
Yeah. I am prime for probing.
You stand out your yard at night, just bent over. You're like, somebody.
Yeah, I just kind of stare up at the sky and just kind of look for a beam to come down.
All right, so let's get an adjective to start us off.
Loose.
What about a verb?
Cannonballs.
Adjective.
Frumpy.
An adverb.
Hornily.
I don't think that is a word.
We'll take it, but.
And a plural noun.
Slaves.
One night, Loose Evan was walking home when suddenly a bright light appeared in the sky. Before he knew it, he was cannonballed up into the spaceship of a group of frumpy aliens.
Not even good looking.
They're all in, like, ill-fitting khakis.
Cargo khakis?
They hornily examined him.
No.
And asked him all sorts of questions about Earth. Eventually, they returned Evan to his home, but he couldn't shake the feeling that he had just experienced something out of this world.
Described as loose, so slutty. Is walking the streets at night? So we're assuming that Evan in this story is a hooker.
Yeah. The most creditable people when an alien abduction happens, you know?
I love the fact that he cannonballed on the way up. Like, he didn't go up just normal. He, like, wrapped up into a ball and just kind of rolled up.
Do you think that was his decision, or did the alien's tractor beam just form his body into a cannonball?
I like to think I did it with some style. Yeah. I was going for points there.
It sounds like he was abducted by a bunch of, like, alien incels.
Yeah.
Like neckbeards. They're all frumpy, but they do things hornily. They're not even really examining him. They're just kind of touching various parts of his body. Like, just...
Their clothes are just really wrinkled, pit stains.
Like old school 80s rock band t-shirts. Yeah. Like,
if I was awake, they would have called me Masseur.
Yeah, for sure.
Tip their alien fedoras.
I love at the end of the story, Evan was back in his bed just like thinking something was out of this world. Like, he was like, it was actually pretty good. Like, he actually enjoyed that. I just think you enjoyed it. The story makes it sound like you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a roadside hooker like Evan, anything that's remotely interesting has got to feel just out of this world.
Yeah, he's not getting beat by his pimp or anything, so, like,
exactly,
anything's better than that.
I mean, when you're a common street whore, it to feel something that exhilarating is... not many people have done it, so...
It must be nice not feeling like you had to earn that night.
Exactly.
That was a good story. Let's do one more.
Nuzzle back into Alan here.
Yeah,
his legs.
Guys, just come over here at the foot of this chair. just get up real close, and it'll be like I'm opening up an old dusty book.
Yeah,
and just reading to you guys out of this ancient text.
Absolutely,
it just smells like must and mahogany in here, and I love it. Let's say Alan discovers Bigfoot.
Oh, big deal.
Oh, you're yeah.
Really furthering science.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the study of cryptozoology, it's not really getting its due.
Right.
And I think we need to bring more of that to light with the discovery of Bigfoot.
Let's hear what you find.
Let's start off. Give me an adjective.
Sexy.
Has to be.
It's the
always has to be.
Has to be.
What about an adverb?
Sensuously.
Oh, sensuously. I just can see where this this Bigfoot sighting is gonna go.
I hate that this is even the next blank. Hit me with a noun.
Nipple.
Yeah. No, that checks.
That tracks. Adjective.
Hunky.
Hunky.
Let me have another noun.
Father or daddy.
Daddy. I think go daddy's with daddy.
Better. What about a verb?
Pounds.
Adjective.
Oh, still going.
Yeah, this one's long.
Sweaty.
Verb.
Hates.
And finally, a noun.
Lips.
This is probably going to be the most disturbing thing ever.
Here, all right. You want to get into it? Make it kind of creepy?
Yeah. Set the tone set the here tone with, a some, bit. With some music.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, here we go.
One sexy day, Alan was sensuously walking through the nipples.
What?
Sensuously walking through the nipples. I don't know if the nipples is like a forest or something.
It's called a forest.
Yeah, I think it's French.
Called a forest. Yeah.
When he stumbled upon a hunky creature. You know how people describe Bigfoot. It was none other than Bigfoot himself.
There he is. It's probably other split wood.
Alan couldn't.
Oh, gosh.
Alan couldn't believe his daddy.
What if your daddy told you? What did he tell you? He was like, "Don't go out there, son. You're not gonna find that hunky Bigfoot. You're not gonna find him. Don't go searching
even
for him."
Make
Alan
it through that sentence. That
Alan couldn't believe his daddy.
That was only halfway through the sentence. All right.
Okay, sorry. Let's start off the sentence.
Alan couldn't believe his daddy as he pounds closer to get a better look.
Yeah, your daddy was like, "No, go out there." And you don't have a light tread.
You better not be pounding.
you don't have a light tread. You're walking very heavy.
Real flat-footed.
Yeah. Bigfoot seemed sweaty and mysterious as he hates through the lips.
Was he just cussing you out? He's just yelling obscenities at you.
He's cursing.
He just hates through his lips. It's a bunch of insults.
You know, I was just having a great day walking through the nipples.
The forest of nipples.
Not listening to your daddy. You
know? Nipple State Park.
Man, Bigfoot hating through the lips. Who knew he had a mouth on him?
Was that it?
That was it.
Yeah, that's not how you expected to find Bigfoot. Just hunky and sweaty, but kind of a dick.
Kind of just a a-hole.
Just a douche. Just
kind of hoping he'd be a nicer guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think somebody who's been by himself for a long time might be more interested to talk to you.
I think he's pissed off because you found him.
Yeah. Well, they say never meet your heroes.
Yeah. They do. They do say that.
Oh, man. You should listen to your daddy. He knew you should go out there and find a hunky Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Or at least do it with like lighter tread, maybe. Yeah. Maybe he wouldn't have been so mean.
You're walking around like you're wearing swimming paddles.
Fins. Combat boots stomping around.
Oh, man. But, man, what good stories there. I tell you what, every time we go over to the bookshelf and just pop out a book, or we use this big steam-powered steampunk machine, we get something good.
Like I think the machine, it's going to need at least like a week break to recuperate. It's going to have to be some maintenance done to it.
Yeah.
It's going to need a whole cord of oil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pump through it. But I mean, the tales are like something out of the Brothers Grimm or something legendary. From Shakespeare, you know.
Yeah. The sexy Bigfoot, the frumpy, horny aliens. Those are going to be stories you tell to your kids before bed.
Yeah, look out, Tolkien. I mean, you're already dead, but we're coming for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That was excellent. I always love a good story. But as we end it, let's give the Saturday workers a one-liner wisdom.
Your wife may want you to bring in the mail from outside, but I say I do that every time I walk through the door.
Dang right. Come on. Just the masculinity that comes through that door.
Just, I'm bringing a mail.
Help you meet yourself. And not just some other guy.
I'm bringing a male stepping through the door.
In keeping with Evan's postal theme, when you mail a letter, it's really cool to seal it with a wax seal.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be even cooler if you mailed someone a seal made out of wax.
Are you wanting a seal, like a sea lion made of
just
wax?
Just an aquatic mammal. Statue made out of wax.
Yeah, is that what you want? You want someone to melt that?
Yeah, I'm sure I'm not the only one that has wanted to get one of those in the mail. Yeah, you know?
It doesn't seem like it would travel well in the summer.
It doesn't, yeah.
No,
yeah.
No.
Probably why nobody gets them.
Yeah.
It's definitely a winter shipment.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean, I think you can put that out on the air, maybe have somebody ship you one.
Yeah, send me a wax seal.
Very good. If you have a hypothetical, if you have a prompt for an ad lib, if you have a place you want us to visit, if you need advice from the three wisest people, write us in questionabledetourpodcast@gmail.com. Do not hesitate. We'll take anything. We are desperate. Your hate, your love, your wax seals.
We would probably, I'd say we'd probably not respond for a couple days just to kind of keep you guessing as to if we're interested.
But we're sweat.
Yeah.
Like, we really want to answer.
The three of us, this is just a peek behind the curtain, we would be just standing all over that computer, that Windows 98 program.
We don't know how to use a computer.
just waiting to respond on that email. Yeah.
Just reading it over 1,000 times.
Because we're struggling with the reading part?
Yeah, because one, we don't know how to read, and two, we're just in awe that...
Yeah, we've got something.
Yeah.
But yeah, write us in. All right, guys. Y'all want to be done?
Yes, please.
Expect the detour.
Alan, a horse inseminator,